The scripture this morning is from Psalm 31. In you, O Lord, I seek refuge. Do not let me ever be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me. Rescue me speedily. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. You are indeed my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Take me out of the net that is hidden for me, for you are my refuge. Into my hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and persecutors. Let your face shine upon my servant. Save me in your steadfast love. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us.
Thanks be to God.
Have you ever had one of those days? Well, of course you have. We've all had those days. And for me, last Thursday was one of those days. Things started to go downhill at about 6:30 a.m. When I went to read my email, and I saw a message with the heading, "Very sad news," from two of my dear friends in Boulder. As I opened the email with a great deal of trepidation, I learned that a 21-year-old who I had known as a little girl at First Congregational in Boulder had died from complications after a suicide attempt. The young woman, Amanda, had struggled with bipolar disorder and finally succumbed to it. She would have graduated cum laude this weekend from the University of Massachusetts. And the university did a really lovely thing for her by awarding her degree posthumously. I want to say clearly and publicly to you, and to those you love and care about, that there is help for mental illness. There is help. And suicide is a lousy option. Ask for help. You may not think that depression and anxiety are a big deal, but they are. And help is available. And if you see somebody struggling, ask them if they need help. Call any of your clergy. Call Jane Ann, call Jake, call me. We have a good referral list of local therapists, and they'll help. Or call Connections, which is a service of Larimer County Health. And if it's urgent, call 911. Get help. It works. After I heard the news about Amanda, I was reeling. I didn't know what else to do but to pray for her sister, for her grandparents, for her dear friends, for her mom who had died of a drug overdose 10 years before. And it made me wonder, why is it that we often wait to lean into God until things really hit the fan? Often, when we get into crisis, we turn to God, and that's a good place to turn. But why do we wait so long? Why do we wait until we're right in the midst of a crisis? You know, maybe we don't think about putting our trust in God when things are going really well for us. At such times, we often take credit for things that are going really okay. We can trust our own abilities more often than not to cope with the things that life throws at us. But sometimes we can't. What would it be like if we just spent some time checking in with God? The God that we know as a mother and a father. What would it be like if we checked in with God when things are going okay? When things are going fabulously? And when we're in the middle of crisis? I imagine that most of us would have a better relationship with that God who we know as a loving parent, that we know as the ground of being on whom we rely for everything. And I sort of imagine that God would like to hear from us when we're not in a jam. Think about it in terms of a friendship. If you have a friend that you only call when you are in the midst of a crisis, that relationship may not be as strong or as long-lasting as a friendship in which you share all aspects of your life, the good stuff, the workaday events, and the tragedies as well. If you're the parent of a teen or a young adult, what is it like when your son or your daughter calls you only when they need money or when they're in deep trouble? At the first service, somebody said, normal. But wouldn't it be lovely to hear from them at other times as well, just to check in or to share something good that's going on at work or going on at home? Maybe you have a regular check-in time with family or friends. That will work with your relationship with God as well. I have a regular check-in time with God each morning. But if you're an evening person, you can check in with God then too. In fact, there's a wonderful model called the Examen, E-X-A-M-E-N. So for those of you who are always asking about how to pray, or if you like to have a method for praying, or a paradigm, or if you're somebody who thinks in linear ways, get out that pencil from the little pew rack in front of you and get ready. Because the Examen that I'm about to tell you about has six steps. See, it's linear already. The first step is to become aware of God's presence. And you might do this at the end of a day by taking some deep breaths, maybe by closing your eyes, and just invite God to be with you. The second step is to review your day with gratitude, to try and recall what happened. What were the events of the day? Who did you interact with? What work did you do? What did you receive from others? What did you give to them? And lift that in gratitude to God. The third step is to pay attention to your emotions. Think about what feelings those events bring up in you. Is it joy or resentment? Is it anger or is it a sense of deep compassion? Sometimes God might be telling us something through the medium of our emotions. Fourth, choose just one feature of your day, one thing that happened or one interaction you had. Ask for God's help in bringing that into clearer focus. What might God be calling to you to explore just a little bit more about that one particular piece of your day? Fifth, look forward to tomorrow. Ask God to share wisdom and strength and hope for tomorrow's challenges. And if you're still going and you need a sixth step, offer the Lord's Prayer at the end. You know, I wonder if God has a yearning to be in relationship with us that goes beyond hearing from us in a crisis. I mean, maybe God doesn't mind. God probably doesn't. But what about in your part of the relationship? If you haven't been in relationship with God through a regular practice of prayer, it can be a lot harder to reach out to God when you are in crisis. Perhaps because it's more like reaching out to a stranger than reaching out to a loving parent. One of our members, Judy Falouche, has this lovely habit of giving people in our congregation a little rock. And she gave me one when I was recovering from surgery. A rock that says F-R-O-G on it. F-R-O-G is not just the spelling of an amphibian, it's also a wonderful acronym. Fully rely on God. It's a good reminder. Whether we acknowledge it or not, each of us is entirely reliant on God for the gift of life, for our very existence. God is in the air that we breathe. God is in the water that we drink, the water that is about 60% of our body. God is in the love that we feel in a lover's touch or in the eyes of a grandchild. So perhaps the reason that we forget that God is our rock and our refuge, our fortress, is the same reason we sometimes take the people that we love the most for granted. They're just always there. Or perhaps God, like love, cannot be seen with the eye, but only with the heart. But that doesn't make God or love any less real. Amen.